Cabernet tends to be the sort of Errol Flynn of the grape varieties.
The most expensive beer in history.
People will turn around to me and say, oh, I'm just making gin while I wait for my whiskey to get ready.
Because wine is an adventure.
Conventional winemakers who just condemn all natural wine as faulty.
The prestigious title of Sake Samurai.
Looking at whiskey in more of an artful culinary way.
They kind of look at it as a novelty more than anything. The guy from the rock bands is making wine.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine, and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. Back in season one of this podcast, I took you to Tasmania for the Huon Valley Midwinter Festival, an event quite unlike anything else I've ever attended. Organiser Willie Smith Cider recently announced the festival is returning on July 16 and 17, 2021. I figured this would be a great opportunity to reintroduce the documentary we produced on the festival back in 2018, as we have a lot of new listeners who may not have taken the time to go back and listen to every episode from the very beginning. So that's coming up shortly. But first, let me introduce you to Willie Smith's General Manager, Tim Hodgkinson, who is in the middle of planning the 2021 edition of this exciting event.
Look, it's been a really interesting journey through the hiatus of COVID. In consultation with the community, the Huon Valley, and some of the key stakeholders in Tasmania for events and tourism, we realised that the Midwinter Festival is part of the fabric of the off-season or the winter period in Tasmania. It's also heavily embedded in the Willie Smiths and the Appleshed culture. And we made the decision that it's part of us and we can't let it go. So we're really excited to be able to deliver, be it on a small stage this year, the Huon Valley Midwinter Festival. The festival is here to stay and we look forward to delivering again in the years coming.
And with the decision to bring it back again, did the government come to the party as well with a bit more support to make it happen?
Both Events Tas and Tourism Tas have supported us in promoting and delivering this year's Midwinter Festival. And without that support, it just would not be possible. The production and the execution of an event like this, whether you have 600 people or 6,000 people, you still have the same costs of setting up stages, experiences, etc. So with that support from the government, it's enabled us to be able to deliver this COVID-safe event this year, and we look forward to returning to our kind of bigger, better style festival in the years to come.
So how does the capacity differ to previous years?
The capacity is, it couldn't get any more different. So we've had up to 16,000 people attend on any given day of the Midwinter Festival of past. This year, we've come back to our spiritual home at the Willie Smith's Appleshed here in Grove. But with that comes capacity due to restriction on crowds. So we have 650 tickets for each night. We have Friday night and Saturday night. So it is very much scaled down.
Anything else that's going to be new this year that people might not have seen if they've been previously?
Yes, one exciting addition, and this came from a couple of interviews and conversations that were bubbling around the costumes. And, you know, the Midwinter Festival diehards, they turn up in the most incredible pagan-inspired get-up. And we had a lot of people comment that they wish that they could hire or have somebody create an outfit for them. So what we've decided to do is offer what we call the transformation tunnel, where we have seven separate stations set up where you'll have face paint applied, you'll have headwear, clothing, and different costume elements to help you transform into a Midwind Festival. The concept being arrive as yourself and enter the festival as someone else.
Awesome. That's really cool. So just to be clear, the tickets are completely sold out this year, are they?
Correct, yes. The demand for the festival clearly outweighs the supply of tickets. It's very challenging and difficult to have to say no to so many people. We trust that everybody understands and appreciates the delicacy of the situation at the moment. All I can say is that those that were unable to secure a ticket through the ballot system is that we can't wait to have a bigger and larger scale event next year and make sure that everybody can grab a ticket and come and throw a party and celebrate with a wassail, a Burning Man and a couple of ciders.
Three cheers for the old apple tree. Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip! Hip hip!
I'm at a wassailing ceremony at Willie Smith Cider in Huon Valley, Tasmania.
We know that the middle of winter has gone and we know that the sun's coming back. We light the bonfire to show that the sun is coming back. That's the purpose of the bonfire. The sun is returning, the warmth will return, and with it, life will return. Okay?
Now, if you're sitting there wondering what on earth wassailing is, you're probably not alone. Bill Bradshaw is one of the UK's leading cider experts.
No one really knows the origins, but essentially it's a midwinter celebration that started sometime in the Middle Ages in Northern Europe, but it's quite specific to Britain. No other countries wassail that we know about, not traditionally. It's a very West Country thing. You'll find some up in Herefordshire, some down in Devon and Dorset, and a load of them in here in Somerset, where I'm from. It's got quite a strong wassailing tradition because it's quite a strong cider area. Basically, the old established traditions are you give thanks in the orchard. So you do that by mulling some cider, and that's sort of a wassail drink that will get passed around. Everyone will take a sip from the cup, and then people like to make a lot of noise. So sometimes people bang pots and pans if there's lots of kids there. Some of the guys here in Somerset use shotguns. You fire a couple of volleys into the air, and you basically sing a song that gives thanks, you know, for a great season.
Old apple tree, wassail thee, and hope that thou wilt bear. For the Lord doth know where we shall be to be merry another year. For to blow well and to bear well, so merry let us be. Let everyone drink up his cup, and health to the old apple tree.
I'm Sam Reed, co-founder of Willie Smith's Cider Makers. Came across this concept of wassailing while I was travelling around France and the UK on doing a bit of cider research. It just seemed to be a really nice parallel with what we were trying to do with the valley as well. Not only wake up the apple trees for a good harvest, but, you know, wake up the valley and say, hey, come on, guys, let's get together as a community, let's have some fun, and let's let everybody know that we're still here, you know?
What else happens at a wassail in the Northern Hemisphere that you were trying to recreate in Australia?
Yeah, well, the wassail is led by a green man who is generally a member of a Morris side, they're called. The Morris are the Morris dancers. They're certainly a lovely, energetic bunch of people who have a nice little bit of anti-establishment message about them. Obviously, it's based in pagan religion, so they tend to worship the seasons. They love to have a bit of a good time. They love to drink a bit of cider.
Can I just get you to put your hands together for the Morris dancers here?
That's Graham Hamilton leading the wassail for Willie Smith's. Dressed as a green man, a mythical creature of the woods.
Yeah, I've been with a number of different teams. At the moment, I'm with Red Raven Morris here in Melbourne. We dance out throughout the year, traditional English folk dancing. We do a mixture of the styles of Morris that are from the Cotswolds in Oxfordshire, and also a style that's called Border, which is from the counties of England that border Wales, so Herefordshire, Shropshire, Gloucestershire. If you look at where the apple growing traditionally is in England, it's in those counties that border Wales. So it is Herefordshire, Somerset, Shropshire, those sort of counties. And that's where the border tradition of Morris dancing is. So you basically got an overlapping of the Morris tradition and where the cider apple trees are grown.
First held in 2014, the Midwinter Festival was a much-needed boost to the Huon Valley economy. According to Willie Smith, Sam Reed.
Pretty much the Huon Valley was closed for business for at least August and maybe even longer. Some of the wineries, etc., just shut their doors. And so in terms of visitor economy, it was just dead. And then I think that kind of led to the whole place just emotionally being kind of a little bit quiet and not a whole lot going on. So we were really like trying to say the Huon Valley's open for business in winter.
Matthew Evans, host of TV show Gourmet Farmer, has been a Huon Valley resident for 10 years. He's a stallholder at the Midwinter Festival with his local business, Fat Pig Farm.
What's so amazing about that festival was
you know, we all hibernate a little bit. You know, we sort of stop work a little bit earlier in the day if you work the land, and you know, you go inside a bit earlier to get the fire going. You drink a little bit more scotch or a little bit more mulled cider or whatever, you know. And this festival started, and midwinter, muddy, you know, is anyone going to come? And people love it. I mean, it's like we were always waiting for this festival to happen. It's the only festival in Australia where Morris dances aren't just, you know, tolerated. They're actually welcome. It's this beautiful thing. People get, you know, get into fancy dress, put so much effort in. And it's like we always wanted it. And it's appeared, and it's like it's always been here.
William Smith & Sons is one of very few apple growers that has survived in the Huon since the apple industry collapsed due to exposure to the world economy in the 1970s.
Everyone in the Valley's grandfather, father worked in the apple industry, whether it was like, you know, driving trucks up to Hobart to put the apples on the ships, or whether it was actually working in the orchards, or whether it was grading apples. Every family in the Huon has a story, deep story, deep connection with the apple industry. And yeah, the apple industry's declined dramatically since the 60s. You know, there were 1,000... apple farms in Tasmania in 1960. I think there's about 20 left now, 20 or 30 commercial apple farmers left. So that's obviously a massive, massive change. People didn't choose to leave the apple industry. They were forced out of the apple industry. You know, they went bankrupt, or mostly went bankrupt. I mean, they just couldn't trade anymore. What you do see from the survivors, I guess, is they have all innovated change. They're not doing what they did, you know, a generation ago. Smithy went organic, you know, in 1999. That was a massive risk at the time. It's paid off well now. But, you know, certainly if he was doing what his dad did, he probably wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be having this conversation. You had to innovate.
This was the region that gave Tasmania the name the Apple Isle. This is where all the apples were pretty much exported straight from here, you know, across the river here, from Port Huon straight to the UK. And the bottom fell out of that market in the 70s, and the area fell on tough times. And I think part of the reason why I like it here is because people are accustomed to having to make do with what they've got, and to not waste things, and to use what nature has gifted us. And nature in this part of the world gifts us a lot.
The other elements, though, we thought folk music has always been integral to Morris dancing. Obviously, drinking plenty of cider is a pretty important part of it as well. Feasting, you know, there's going to be lots of great food, and we really like to highlight all the local Huon Valley and Southern Tasmanian produce that you can get your hands on. And the other thing, I suppose, which has always been core for us and a real important part, was storytelling. To hear real stories from real people, I mean, some of the photos I've seen of people just absolutely enraptured by, you know, someone talking on stage, just the presence that they have, and just the engagement that they can get from people, it just makes a difference from, you know, TV or all that plugged-in entertainment you can get these days, and just brings people together more closely.
My cruelty, and I hope that the Almighty has mercy on my poor soul. Cheers.
A few years back, I started trying to reach out and connect with the local Aboriginal community. We programmed an Indigenous night a couple of years ago. We had Indigenous storytelling last year at the festival. And then this year, finally, we had a really amazing and spiritual welcome ceremony.
And tonight, I just invite everybody to think about how people have been dancing on this country for a really long time.
Because we thought, you know, this is Australian pagan religion. This is about worshipping the ground we're on and the land we're on, and we really need to pay homage, I suppose, to that tradition, which is Australia's original tradition.
Caretaking the well-being of country. So on that note, have a great night, everyone. Take care of each other, and welcome to this country.
We think this is likely to be possibly the largest wassailing ceremony in the world. So this is wonderful.
Who knows what the biggest one in the world is, and who's going to prove me wrong? It's the biggest one I know of.
This year at the festival, we had 18,000 people there over the course of the weekend. So we were blown away. It was the best festival we've ever had. When you think back to 5 years ago when we started, a bit of like a, you know, let's have a bonfire in the paddock and invite some of our best mates. We ended up getting 4,500 people for that one. And so the growth's been incredible. I mean, 18,000 was 20% up on last year.
According to cider expert Bill Bradshaw, Willie Smith's claim to have created the largest wassail in the world is on pretty solid ground.
18,000, no way. I've never heard of anything that big. I'm pretty sure they're probably right. The numbers we're talking about normally be, you know, 50 or 60 people. They're normally pretty small, possibly up to sort of 200, something like that, if people really go for it. There's a village in northern Somerset called Carhampton, and I know they've had one sort of consecutively for over 100 years. But, I mean, cider has a kind of a 20 to 30 year up and then a 20 to 30 year down. That's just kind of the way it seems to go in the UK. It nearly died out, actually, wassailing. And I think given the cider revival we've had, sort of over the last 20 years, people have become much more aware of it and actually started to invent new traditions and make sure they celebrate it.
And Graham Hamilton says the midwinter rituals are spreading across Australia.
I guess what's happened in the past 30, 40 years is that there's been a rediscovery of apple wassailing as a ceremony, as part of the English folk tradition. And the Morris dancers have been an integral part of that rediscovery and that revitalisation. We've come back to Melbourne saying how wonderful it is. Other Morris dancers have heard how great the event is. All of a sudden, we've got these little midwinter festivals and apple wassailing ceremonies sprouting all over the country. And it's really quite lovely to see and to think that perhaps the Midwinter Festival in Huon Valley has actually been instrumental in quite a rediscovery and resurgence of this tradition here.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at By James Atkinson, like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.